Now, Agriculture Minister Charlie McGonagall has said he's standing over the 25% target set to cut emissions in the agriculture sector, despite the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, saying that Ireland will do everything in its power to ensure a sustainable planet in his COP27 speech. Earlier this year, of course, the government agreed cuts to agricultural carbon emissions of 25%, even though there was scope to push this to 30%, something the Green Party wanted. When asked if the targets set matched the Taoiseach's message at the COP27 event in Egypt this week, Mr. McGonagall said he did. He said, while it was an ambitious target for agriculture, it would contribute towards Ireland meeting a 51% reduction in emissions by 2030. He said food production was crucial and not an option or a luxury, but the objective is to lower the ambitions of how we actually produce it. This would see agriculture stretching itself, even though the changes for agriculture will be voluntary. Well, that's one of the things I spoke to the Minister for State at the Department for Agriculture, Martin Hayden. He's going to be in Kerry this evening, engaging with farmers on the climate targets that have been set for the sector and seeking their views on how they can be achieved in partnership with the government. I also spoke to him about talk of a Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil election pact. But first of all, put that point to him. What pressure does the Taoiseach's comments at COP27 put on agriculture to meet and perhaps maybe increase its targets?
No, I don't think farmers need to be concerned with that. We have a very ambitious target. I don't think the two things are mutually exclusive in what the Taoiseach was saying and what Minister McConnell was saying. Effectively, the Taoiseach was outlining that the climate action plan that this government has agreed to is this government and is Ireland doing more. It is doing more than was on the table when we were at the last COP. And we have passed legislation to pass that into law to set these legally binding targets for all of our sectors to focus our mind on making those changes. They're ambitious, like for the 25% for agricultural area. They are very ambitious and they're challenging, but ultimately I believe they are achievable. And if you look at it from my perspective in the Department of Agriculture, where I have responsibility for trade and new market development, I actually see those high value markets that we're looking to gain access to around the world that we're not in already, which isn't too many, and those we want to get more product into, they have a higher level of climate ambition. So reducing the emission profile from the food we produce is absolutely the right thing to do. And farmers, I honestly believe, you know, are up for that challenge. They want to be reassured that their livelihoods, their core business of producing food, isn't going to be taken away from them. It's not. That will always be for Irish farmers' primary job, because they do it so well, and we have a growing world population. So the world needs nutrient-dense, high-protein food that we produce from our pasture-based system here in Ireland. But we also will contribute to improving our biodiversity, improving our water quality, and reducing the emissions from producing that food. And that's the journey that we're on already with agriculture and farmers.
How does that fit then with the challenges that farmers are facing? Feed costs, news out this morning, will affect their margins. A survey from the Farmers' Journal shows feed costs up by 120 to 130 per tonne on average compared to this time last year.
Yeah, and the front page of Farmers Journal won't be news to any livestock farmer who's been dealing in their co-op. Farmers are going through a very difficult time at present in terms of high input costs, directly impacted by the conflict in Ukraine. The high energy costs have a direct knock-on impact, as does, you know, interruptions to world supply chains. As we know, we do have to import some products like soya and maize for some of our meal and our intensive feeding. But ultimately here, government has stood in this year to support farming, as we have done for all of our sectors of society, like we are doing for businesses all across Kerry and across the country, with new business supports on the energy side. We spent over 90 million extra euro this year on supporting farmers through our fodder scheme, and we'll have a new fodder scheme for next year, which is presently open now to farmers to apply for until early December. To support farmers with those additional costs to make sure they can continue to make the fodder they need. We've had direct interventions for the pig sector, for the horticulture sector, and we've had the tillage scheme to make sure we can grow more of that grain ourselves. So government stands ready to support farmers during this particularly tough time. But yeah, you know, the climate challenge is a much more longer term piece, and in some ways actually the conflict in Ukraine and the high cost of fertilizer and such things, feed, fuel and fertilizer, the 3Fs that farmers are most consumed with, actually, you know, there are changes to make that are better for the environment that farmers are now adopting that actually reduce their bottom line and reduce their input costs as well, like moving away from the dependency on artificial fertilizer, incorporating more special grasses like clover that lock carbon out of the air into the soil. But they're also cheaper to use as well.
To rely on less on the era we came through of cheap inputs from abroad, that's over, so you have to adapt to change things. It is a mixed picture, though, in farming. There's a national farm survey out from Tagus this morning as well, showing just 20% of farm families rely fully on their farm as their only source of income. Now, that's thanks to the high levels of unemployment that we have, or the low levels, sorry, of unemployment we have. There's lots of opportunity for off-farm work for those families. And it shows that, you know, up to 34% of farm holders have off-farm employment. And it also has a positive picture of the situation regards to 42% of farms being viable last year. That's the highest level it's at in 10 years, up from 35% in 2021, I should say, and the highest portion in the last decade.
No, absolutely. And notwithstanding the fact there's very high input costs for farmers, you know, we've seen sectors like dairy that are receiving record prices for their milk, and that is making a really positive impact on the rural economy in which they live, because we know nobody is better to spend money locally in the co-op and in the shops and in local businesses than farmers. So when farming is going, when farmers are getting a good commodity price, then that feeds in to the local community. But ultimately here, farming, and I'm a farmer myself in South Kildare, as well as being a politician, it's something I was reared in, and myself, my wife, I still have a farm at home with some surplus cows and a bit of tillage. Ultimately, we're all aware that farming is very cyclical. It's ups and downs, and there are years then when prices slip back and they're not as good. And if you go back to the climate, the opportunities in climate, and farmers are really starting to realise this now, we don't need to be as afraid of these emission reduction elements, because there's new income opportunities for farmers here that could provide steady incomes into farm beyond the food production element. So farmers will always continue to produce the food that they do, and that's their primary role that they do really well. But farmers will also have opportunities to make money from renewable energy. By our colleague Minister Peter Burke in the Department of Planning and Housing has taken away the requirement for planning permission now for solar panels on the roofs of sheds. We'll have the micro generation scheme from government that will support farmers who want to sell back to the grid. We have the TAM scheme for farmers with very high energy bills and who want to offset those through solar. We're measuring the carbon in soil now. The farmers with ground that may be able to sequester carbon into the future will be able to get paid for that, for some carbon farming. And then you look at the really generous and lucrative new grant schemes for the areas of forestry. In the new forestry scheme that was announced last week, €1.3 billion program, the biggest ever, and a fivefold increase in organic farming, where there's a €256 million fund there. So farmers will recognise that while they continue to farm and produce the food, there are other opportunities there, and particularly on the renewable energy side, that could provide a steady, reliable income every year that kind of gives a baseline income to a farm and moves away from the volatility of the ups and downs of the market in any given year. And that can only be good for our farmers, but also for our rural communities in which they're based.
Okay, and look, you're in Lixna, you're in Ballymacelligot, you're in Dairymaster as well this afternoon and this evening.
Yeah, look, looking forward to going down, meeting up with my colleagues. Deputy Brendan Griffin has kept me busy today down around Kerry. The first bit of stop will be in Causeway to visit Dairymaster and the hugely innovative science, and, you know, proving how many high quality jobs there are in the agriculture sector outside of the actual farm as well. You know, and Dairymaster do that, and they do that really well. And that's where the investment and the prosperity in agriculture feeds through to communities and to high quality jobs. And for a company like Dairymaster to be based in Causeway and to do the phenomenally innovative work they do is brilliant, and I'm delighted to have the opportunity to visit there. I'll then be meeting up with Councillor Aoife Thornton in Lixnaw, where we're meeting a farming group there on a farm, and then have a number of meetings in Ballymacelligot later in the evening. Obviously meeting my Fine Gael, other Fine Gael councillors and constituency officers, but meeting a number of farmers there as well, and having the opportunity to listen to some of their concerns, because obviously farmers have concerns like you've outlined early on, but also being able to explain where government policy is at, where European policy is at about some things that would concern farmers at present, and how we're navigating all of those challenges.
Okay, final brief question. On the political front, what do you make of the comments of your party leader, Leo Varadkar, announced yesterday it's 17th of December is going to be the changeover. There's a cabinet reshuffle to consider as well, but opening the door to a perhaps general election transfer pact with Fianna Fáil?
So look, ultimately Fine Gael will stand on its own merits, as every other party will too. But you know, I look at what we've achieved since the last general election in 2020 as a government, and we've had our challenges and we've had our ups and downs. And I'll be honest as well, there's always the tensions between the three coalition partners. We don't have the same view on everything, but I think we've worked really, really well together. We've managed the pandemic, where we've managed to support businesses and support communities and get them through that. And you know, if you look at, we're making really big policy decisions that are placing the country in a better position into the future. We have we're able to bring in you know, whether that's in the area of climate action or whether it's what we were able to do in supporting businesses and individuals in the recent budget, because we've managed the economy well. And I don't think it should be a surprise to anybody that I believe come the next election, government parties will have a very strong story to tell, that we have done a very good job.
What would you say to opponents who no doubt will say this is just one, and you're now just one in the same party, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, the same thing?
No, I don't see it as the most unusual thing in the world to be able to stand at the next election and say, you know what, we worked well with our coalition partners and we delivered well for the country, and if you want to pass judgment on us, we know we'll have rural independents, we'll have small parties, and we'll have the likes of Sinn Féin promising change, because that's a great word to like to use, but when you delve into what that change actually looks like, will people have as much change in their pocket, to be a question I'd ask, because of how the economy will be managed in these different elements. So I don't think it's unusual that it may well be the case that the government parties will be able to point to the fact that they have worked well together, that this government is delivering and has delivered, and you know, to say that it is a very good alternative to a message of change that people in opposition will promise when they can promise the sun, moon and stars while sitting on the fence in opposition. We've done it, we'll have the track record, and we'll stand on our own 2 feet, but of course we will be pointing to the fact that we have worked well in the past together, and there's no reason we wouldn't be able to do that again in the future.
Okay, Minister Martin Hayden, thanks very much for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Jerry.